Good morning, everyone. Good to see you this morning. As we start, I wonder if any of you will be able to recognize the picture of this man. There is a slight clue in what he is famous for on here. I don't necessarily expect you to recognize him, but I just wondered if anyone would. He is called Joshua Bell, and he is a Grammy Award winner. He has played on soundtracks for a number of films, and in fact, he's so famous in America that he has even appeared on Sesame Street as well. And back in 1997, I think it was, no, a bit later than that, 2007, I think it was, that he was actually carrying out an experiment. What he did in conjunction with other people is he went to a train station in America and put on a baseball cap to disguise himself a little bit to see who would recognize him as he did some busking. And what we've got is we've got about a two-minute clip which shows some of it in fast forward what happened at that time. Have a look to see if you can spot how many people stop to listen to him. At the end was the only person who recognized him. I'm suspecting you didn't manage to count all the people that walked past in that time, but I'm told from people who've looked at it, 1,097 people walked past during that time, and seven stopped to listen. This is a man who earns thousands of pounds a night for the performances that he gives. In that moment, in that time, made, I think it was $58, they said, of which the lady who recognized him gave him $20 at the end for that. Incredible, isn't it, how somebody so famous, people were just walking past. I wonder if they were told afterwards, if they would have thought, ah, what an opportunity there was to experience something amazing, and yet we missed it, and we have missed out. Our Bible verse of the year that we have been looking at says this from John's Gospel, chapter 10. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly. And as I was thinking about what to preach on over the coming period of time, the next weeks, I was thinking around this verse and thinking of the reality that happens for some people, that they miss out on the abundant life that Jesus has come to bring. And as I was thinking about that, my mind went to some of the gospel stories where people who met Jesus still missed out on his very presence. So over the coming weeks, we are going to look at a number of people. So we're going to look this week, we're particularly focusing perhaps on the Gerasenes and what they said, and we'll look at that in a minute. But we're also going to look at Herod and how he hoped to see Jesus perform a miracle. How some of Jesus' followers in John's Gospel, we read, said this is hard teaching and they turned away from him. How the rich young ruler who came to Jesus with a question ended up going away sad. How when Jesus visited his people in his hometown of Nazareth, we're told he couldn't do many miracles there. He was amazed at their lack of faith, and also at the story of the healing of the 10 lepers, one of whom returned and 9 didn't. You know, it seems in some of these gospel stories that there are people who miss out, even though they have everything there that they needed, they still missed out. And I come to this and approach this with a heart that says there is a danger for each and every one of us that we can experience something of the presence of Jesus and yet still miss out on the abundant life that he has come to bring. And my hope in this series as we look at this is that we will learn from these people, we will learn from these situations in order that we won't be people who miss out on the abundant life that Jesus longs to bring for you and for me. Let me say at the outset, let me say again what this verse says. Jesus has come to bring life, and life in abundance. And if we are missing out on that, we're missing out on what Jesus wants to bring for us. And so my hope through this series is that we will discover more about what abundant life truly is. And we're going to start with this interesting story. It's a fascinating story. It's an unusual story. And as we look at it and we hear about a demon-possessed man who is healed, a demon-possessed man whose life is transformed, there is a witness that goes out to the people he lives amongst, to the Gerasenes, and we're told in verse 37, what happens? Then all the people of the region of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them because they were overcome with fear. So he got into a boat and left. You see, Jesus was there right amongst them. They had the opportunity to experience more of the abundant life that Jesus had come to bring. And what do they do in that moment? They ask him to leave because of fear. Well, it's a fascinating story, not least because whilst some miss out, the Gerasenes ask Jesus to leave, to go away from amongst them. We have this demon-possessed man who is healed. He experiences something of abundant life that Jesus has come to bring. And we have the contrast with the Gerasenes. And so we're going to look at this story, and there are four words that I particularly want to draw out for us this morning from here. There's so much more we could look at, but these are the four things that I just want to comment on today. Four things about fear, decision, hope, and disappointment. Fear, decision, hope, and disappointment. And through this series, I think, I hope that we will look at these things and see things that help us to make sure we don't miss it, we don't miss out, but we experience the life that Jesus has come to bring. So first of all, looking at fear. I don't know if any of you know what these phobias are. I'm going to put some phobias up for you now, things that people are afraid of. I don't necessarily know how to pronounce them, so you'll have to excuse me on these. But the first one, cyclophobia. Does anyone know what cyclophobia is? Very close. It is just a fear of bikes. A fear of bikes, wherever they are. Okay, that's the first one. Second one, ablutophobia. You are indeed right. It is a fear of washing. Next one. This is where I start to find it hard to pronounce. Rakibutirophobia, or something like that. It's not spiders. This is actually a fear of peanut butter sticking to the roof of your mouth. And then some of you may have seen this one before. Hippopotamonstrosis quipedilapiophobia, something like that. Anyone got an idea of what that is? It is actually the fear of long words. Whoever dreamt that up as a good thing to think of, I just don't know. You know, fear. This passage is full of fear. We have the fear of the Gerasenes that I've already read about in verse 37. Then all of the people of the region of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them because they were overcome with fear. But the whole context of this passage is all about fear. Before we started the reading, let me tell you a little bit about what has happened. We get some of this from Mark's gospel, some of it comes from Luke's gospel, but what has happened? Jesus has been doing some teaching, and it gets to the evening, and he calls the disciples and says, look, let's row over to the other side of the lake. And so they start to row, and as they row, a storm is thrown up. And this is a very serious storm. Now, there are some people who are used to fishing on there. They're used to being on boats, but they have this fear that the boat is going to be swamped, and they are all going to drown. And the moment comes when the disciples go to Jesus, who somehow is asleep in the boat. And they wake him up and they say, Master, Master, we're going to drown. And he gets up, he rebukes the wind and the raging waters. The storm subsides and all was calm. And Jesus asks the question of the disciples, where's your faith in all of this? And we read this, in fear and amazement, they asked one another, who is this? So they've had this terrifying experience of thinking they're going to drown. And even as they're saved, they have this moment of fear of saying, who is this who is with us? Even the wind and the waves obey him. A really scary moment. And then it comes as they're probably grateful for just surviving at this moment. They manage to land. And we should remember, this is nighttime, and how many of us know that when it's nighttime, everything seems far more scary? And so they come and they land, and their hearts must be, well, maybe they're just returning to normal again. But they're landing in this strange place. It's a foreign place. It's amongst the people called the Gerasenes. And they get there, and as they land, what happens? Somebody comes and runs up to them and shouts. You know, imagine for a moment, it's dark, you've already been scared once that night already, and now, I say somebody comes up and runs at them, it's a demon-possessed man who we learn later on in the passage isn't clothed, so this naked man runs up to them and starts shouting at them as they are here in this same place, in the middle of the night where there's no street lamps. It's scary. You'd expect them to be scared. I loved a commentator who, with perhaps British understatement, said this about the incident. The onrush of the naked yelling maniac must have tried the newly recovered confidence of the 12. I'm very sure it did. You know, that scary moment, that fear. You see, actually for the disciples, they were in a fearful moment because of their circumstances, but also because they were present with Jesus at that moment. If they hadn't been present with Jesus, they wouldn't have had some of those scary incidents. They wouldn't have been on the lake. They wouldn't have been at that moment landing with this man, this maniac, running towards them, shouting at them. It was a fearful moment. Yet, as we know in the Gospels, we see they stay close to Jesus. The Gerasenes ask Jesus to go away, and he goes away. You see, it seems to me that the reality is sometimes in life we are going to be afraid. Sometimes we will have fearful moments that we have to face. And there are two things that can happen at that moment. One is that we say, all matters of faith, and to Jesus in effect, go away and leave me. This is too scary. Another is to move closer and closer to Jesus. What was the difference between the disciples' experience and the experience of the Gerasenes? I just wonder if it was this. I wonder if in relationship they had discovered the love of Jesus, and so they were able to go with him even in spite of fear. There's a verse in the Bible. It says this: there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. And I just wonder if for the disciples that was their experience. They knew what it was like to live with Jesus and be with Jesus. And so even though with Jesus they were facing fearful circumstances, they knew his love, and so perfect love casts out fear. Not to say that you don't experience those moments of fear, but you help to deal with it and you walk with it and you don't push Jesus away. If you don't have that experience of the relationship with Jesus, when fearful things come along, when it seems to be hard going in being with Jesus, what you're more likely to do is say, go away from me, it's easier without. But you miss out on his presence. You miss out on his love. What I want to say today to you, you might be here today facing circumstances that you would describe as fearful. You might be here today thinking that the reason that you're facing some of these fearful circumstances is because you are walking with Jesus. And I want to say to you, experience his love in relationship, because you can walk with him as he walks with you. Trust in him, and you will experience his love, his strength, his never letting you go. You are under the shadow of his wings, as we heard earlier in the Bible verse. Fear. Second thing, decision. I'll put another picture. I'm testing you today. Lots of questions. Anyone recognize who that is by any chance? No, this is actually Harry Houdini. There's no reason why you should have recognized him, but you may have heard of him. Harry Houdini, a famous illusionist and escapologist, well known for the fact that he could be shackled, he could have handcuffs on, he could have ropes tying him, but he could escape from them. And as we continue with the story, as we get some description that Luke brings to this, we discover that the demon-possessed man is somebody who has been bound. He has been shackled. He was chained hand and foot, kept under guard, but he had broken the chains. You know, here was a man who had an illusion of power of what was going on. From a mere human perspective, he seemed so strong. He could break the chains that bound him. And there comes to this moment, though, that although he might appear strong, his circumstances are awful. They are tragic. He has this demon possession, and what has led him to is that he's had to go to a solitary place. He lives amongst the tombs. He is naked. He has no dignity. He has no place. He is isolated. It's a terrible situation. I wonder sometimes, as we read stories like this in today's age, particularly as we live in quite a scientific age and we hear the idea of demon possession, that sounds a little strange, a little unusual. Some of us may not be entirely comfortable with that as an idea. Others of us may be quite comfortable with that as a notion. But I was thinking about what is the point of connection for us with this today, whatever our circumstances. And as I was looking at this, I was thinking, you know, here is a man whose life experience is that he is isolated. He's rejected by those people he's living amongst. He's feeling like he just can't fit in. He isn't in control of situations and circumstances. He is imprisoned, in effect. And I thought, what we can know today is that the desire of the enemy is to imprison us and to trap us from experiencing the abundant life that Jesus has come to bring. And that can happen in a number of ways. Let me suggest some ways to you. And what I want to say before I do suggest these is what I am not saying is, I'm not saying if you experience any of these things, you are demon-possessed. What I am saying is that the experience of being imprisoned, kept from enjoying life in all of its abundance, can happen through some of these circumstances. So here we go. We can find that we are imprisoned by depression. You know, depression is something that more and more people seem to be experiencing in our society. Depression that leads us to feel like, well, we just have an overwhelming burden, a sadness about us. That leads us to isolate ourselves from other people, takes us away from interaction, that makes us feel like we don't really fit in. The desolation of spirit in that moment. And we can be imprisoned within those feelings, those experiences. We can have past memories of things that have happened to us, perhaps abuses that we have experienced. And what that can lead us to is this way that the way we lead our lives is so strongly influenced by what has happened to us in the past that we just can't seem to break free from the past because we are struggled, we are shackled, we are chained up by things that have happened in the past. It can happen through worries and anxieties, the way that we look out on life. Our life is full of kind of what's going to happen next, how am I going to cope with what happens next? And we go from one thing to another and we're full of worry. And it's like we are bound, we are chained up by worry. These are the kind of things that we can experience so easily and perhaps can help us understand that life can be robbed. The abundant life can be robbed from us, just as it was at this time for the demon-possessed man. But there comes that moment in the story when the disciples and Jesus have landed and he rushes up and he says, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God?" Which is a fascinating thing. I was kind of reading some of the language behind this, and it seems that really what was being said of the man as he runs up to Jesus is kind of, "Mind your own business, Jesus, about me. Leave me alone." And it's a fascinating thing that he's actually going up and saying this, because Jesus isn't approaching him. He's the one running towards Jesus. But even in that moment, we see there is decision that is happening. Do I run towards Jesus, even with my confusion, even with my lack of understanding? Or, as the Gerasenes say a little bit later on, please leave us. That's a decision each and every one of us has to make. Am I going to run towards Jesus, even in my confusion, even in my problems, or am I going to say, go away? There are different aspects of our lives where we have to make the decision. You know, we can let Jesus in so far into our lives, but are we going to let him fully and completely into our lives, into every single area of our lives? Because what we can do is we can hold certain things back and say, no, away from me, Jesus, in this particular situation and this particular thing that I'm facing. Or we can say, come into every part of my life. That is the decision that each and every one of us has to make for every part of our lives. You know, I don't know what it's like for you, but you know, I can say in my life sometimes, I can suddenly discover there's something that I realize that I'm holding back from Jesus. It could be an attitude, a way of being that I just think, no, I'm fine with that. I want it to be like that. And sometimes you just have to say, no, got to go to Jesus and say, Jesus, this is where I'm at. This is who I am. Come into my life. But it's easy for us to say, no, actually, I don't want to give that area of my life over. I want to hold on to it. And I just want to ask some of us here this morning, maybe we have an area of life that we are holding on tightly to and saying, Jesus, away from me. Don't want to bring you into this part of my life. And to just say, right here and now, don't miss out on who Jesus is and what he wants to bring us. He wants to bring each and every one of us abundant life. He wants to bring us more, not take away from us. And so actually, in inviting him into those areas of our lives that perhaps we're afraid he's going to deal with because we don't really want them dealt with, what he can do to us is give us more than we have ever experienced before. Jesus is not in the business of taking away good things from us. He is in the business of giving us more and more good things. And what we need is to make that decision to say, I believe in you, I trust you, I want you to bring more good into my life, and that which is bad, take it away from me. Have you got things in your life right now that you're holding on to and saying, Jesus, away from me? Make a decision today. Say, Jesus, come to this part of my life. This is your business. I want some more of you because I believe you bring good things. We need to make a decision. Another question for you. Does anyone recognize who this is? If you've been watching the Commonwealth Games, you might do. This is a lady called Annie Last. And she actually won the women's mountain bike cross-country gold medal. And it led to an interesting headline of Last First. I'm sure there's another illustration I could use that for elsewhere in the Bible. But what I was thinking about is just names here. Because the next thing that we read is Jesus asks the evil spirit, what is your name? Legion, he replied, because many demons had gone into him. Legion was a large section of the Roman army, which could have between 3,000 and 6,000 people as a part of it. So what we're talking about here is in saying legion, he's got many evil spirits amongst him. But a name was considered to be important because when you knew somebody's name, it gave you some understanding of who they were. So Jesus asks the name Legion. He replies, because many demons had gone into him. And then this is a very strange part of the story. They begged him repeatedly not to order them to go into the abyss. And they end up being sent into a herd of pigs that throw themselves off the cliff and drown in the lake. And I don't know how many of you feel sorry for the pigs at this particular point and think, well, why on earth did that happen? I don't have time to go into that now, I'm afraid, but if you'd like a conversation with me afterwards, I can tell you some of the reasons the commentaries give for this. I found it interesting anyway, but as I say, I don't really have time to go into that right now. But what we have got here is we've got this demon-possessed man who ends up healed. We read on to see that when they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone out sitting at Jesus' feet, dressed and in his right mind. You know, what a total transformation there has been. This man who had no dignity, who was isolated, who was away from the company, who was taken by demons and they seized him and he was out of control, now is clothed, he is in his right mind, and he is sitting at the feet of Jesus. A total transformation. What hope there is in the story. However hopeless our circumstances might seem, however difficult the things that we face might be, here is hope because there is complete transformation. Complete transformation. It made me think of Jesus in this Easter season. You see, when Jesus was led away to be crucified, he was stripped of his clothes. He lost his dignity in that moment. He was isolated and rejected from those who should have accepted him and welcomed him. and he was crucified on the cross and then laid in a tomb. He was imprisoned in that tomb, that place from which there should have been no escape. 3 days later, at a particular moment, there was a beat of the heart. It started beating. And suddenly there was life, and the stone rolled away from the tomb, no longer imprisoned, but set free, death beaten. Life, hope, restored once more. That is what Jesus has come to do for each and every one of us. Whatever prisons we might feel we are entombed in, whatever our situation that we face, and we've been talking already about some of the difficult situations we might face, Jesus has come to set us free, to say there is hope. There is hope. Whatever you are feeling right now, whatever you are experiencing, hear this. In the power of Jesus Christ, who lived, who died, and who rose again, there is hope. There is hope. So if you come today feeling in despair, we have a choice to make. We can decide to give our lives to the presence of Jesus, who is here. We can decide that we do not want to miss out on what he brings. And we can look towards hope once more. Finally, the last thing I want to say, and quite briefly, is this about disappointment. Look at what happens at the end of the story. I'm fascinated by this. The man from whom the demons had gone out begged to go with him, but Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return home and tell how much God has done for you." You know, it's fascinating. There are a lot of requests that Jesus does answer in this passage and says yes to. This is the one most obvious one where he says no. And it kind of seems like such a natural response, doesn't it? For the man who has been healed, his life is transformed. He's had no life there. He has been rejected. Perhaps he will always be seen by those in that place as the man who was possessed. And he's experienced the healing of Jesus. Surely, I want to follow you and go with you. That's a natural response, isn't it? And Jesus says, no, stay here. I've got another task for you. I've got another job. And what I was thinking about, and what can rob us of the life that Jesus wants to bring us, what can cause us to miss out sometimes, I think is disappointment. And it's disappointment because we've really thought we've understood what God is calling us to. We've really thought we understood where he's leading us, where we're going. And suddenly those doors shut, and it's like Jesus is saying, no, that's not what I want you to do. I've got something else for you. And there are times, and I've known people in the past who have been so disappointed about a door that they thought was going to open, not opening, that they have lived their life with that regret and disappointment that has stopped them experiencing the life that Jesus has come to bring. Because notice what happens here. It isn't that Jesus says, I have no use for you. He doesn't say, you're not worth traveling with me. What he says is, I've got another task for you, a different thing for you to do. It's not your first choice, but it's my first choice for you. So he says, return home and tell how much God has done for you. And I love the way that this finishes. So the man went away and told all over the town how much Jesus had done for him. You're fantastic. He doesn't live with disappointment and say, well, I couldn't go with Jesus. That's what I wanted to do. He embraces the call that Jesus really does have on his life. And so what I want to say this morning, if you are here today with a disappointment about what Jesus, you thought he was calling you to, and in some way he's opening up another door. Maybe you don't know what that door is yet, but there's another door to open up. And Jesus, maybe today, wants to say to you, go joyfully through this new door. Go joyfully. Don't live with regret and disappointment. Live with joy. Miss it, miss out. you know, miss out if we allow fear to overcome us. Miss out if we make the decision to push Jesus away. Miss out if we don't see the hope that there is through the Jesus who completely transforms everything. Miss out if we want to live with disappointment rather than embrace opportunity. Miss out. But the alternative is to be with Jesus, who helps us overcome fear and live through fear. To be with Jesus, who, when we invite him to be part of what we're facing, comes closer to us than we can ever imagine. To be with Jesus and to experience the hope that he brings in spite of the circumstance. To bring with Jesus, who will transform disappointment into opportunity. That's our choice. Let me just finish with one final picture. You know, I was talking about Joshua Bell earlier on and the concert that he gave 10, 11 years ago, something like that. He announced that he was going to go back to the same train station and do a concert again. That's a picture from it. Hundreds and hundreds of people turned up because they didn't want to miss out. What I say to you today as we finish is this: don't miss out. Don't miss out today on who Jesus is, on who he wants to be. He is here. Don't miss out. Enjoy it. Experience it. He came to bring abundant life. Amen.